Liz, I'm hearing some version of the same question over and over, and that is, what if I don't want to rank? I only like one candidate, I want them to be my first choice, and that's it.
Casey, your ballot will still count if you just choose one candidate. You don't have to rank, but you should.
Well, why is that?
Because otherwise you won't be fully exercising your power as a voter. It's very unlikely that any of the statewide races will be decided by just the first choice votes. We're going to essentially have an instant runoff. And as it turns out, we only have three candidates in Alaska's first ranked choice ballot, the one for the special election for U.S. House. So it's really easy to see how it works. So let's say you and your neighbor both like candidate C, and that candidate finishes last. If you do not rank any of the other candidates, you've had your say, and that's as far as your ballot goes. But what happens next is all the ballots that went to candidate C are re-examined to see if the voter indicated a second choice. So if your neighbor ranked a number two candidate, that ballot is added to the candidate's pile, and your ballot goes nowhere. So your neighbor has voted in the runoff election, and you sat that one out.
Okay, I get that that's how it's supposed to work, but emotions kind of play a role in this somewhat. And what I've heard is that there are voters who, after they make their first choice, they don't want to vote for either of the other two candidates in the special election. Like how some progressive voters are saying they'll vote for Mary Peltola, the only Democrat in the race, and they really just cannot bring themselves to fill in any oval for the Republicans, Nick Begich or Sarah Palin, even if it's for second or third place. I guess, you know, it might feel weird to someone to give a candidate they don't like any level of support.
Yeah, and by the way, that's true among Republican voters, too. Some of them, some Begich voters really have an aversion to Sarah Palin and vice versa, and they can't imagine voting for a Democrat. So they're in the same position. But a friend of mine who is a naturalized American citizen, and I think he really recognizes the awesomeness of being able to vote and really puts a lot of thought into it, he put it this way. Why should I put my name to any of the candidates I can't stand? And what I'd say is that ranking your choices in no way diminishes your vote for your favorite. All it does is say, if your favorite is no longer in the running, who else do you want? Or who would be the least bad? If you really have no opinion on candidates beyond the first one, no opinion at all, if you absolutely have no preference, then fine, don't rank. But study their positions. Maybe there's a difference between them on an issue that you care about. Kevin Berry has an interesting take on this. He's an economist at the University of Alaska, and he applies game theory to this whole ranked choice voting thing. He says even when the remaining candidates are diametrically opposed to you on all policy issues, it doesn't cost you anything to fill in the rest of the ovals. You might still want to rank them based on other factors beyond policy, like who do you think would be better at representing Alaska at important national events, or who do you think would be better at constituent services? Berry says that the new system presents voters with more difficult questions, and here's how he put it.
In the past, we just kind of said, you know, who the candidates are is settled by a partisan primary, and then what team am I on, and I vote for that team. Now we need to think really hard about who these candidates are, and even amongst the people we disagree with, who would at least be the best at answering my phone call?
Okay, but what if someone is so passionate about their one candidate, they vote them as their number one, two, and three pick? Like maybe there's a Sarah Palin super voter out there who votes for her three times. What does that do?
That's essentially the same as just selecting a number one. If your favorite is eliminated, so is the rest of your ballot. There's no point in doing that. But yeah, your ballot would still be counted in the first round.
Okay, so it still counts just in the first round. I like this because I get to play the squirrely voter who comes up with weird things to do. Okay, what if I like two candidates equally and assign them the same ranking? Does that spoil my ballot?
The Division of Elections considers that an overvote and will toss your ballot at the point at which the overvote occurs. So if you correctly vote for one person as your first choice and then two candidates for your number two, only your number one will count. Once your favorite is eliminated, you have no other rankings that will count.
All right, Liz, last question. Now the most difficult voter. What if I don't like any of them? Does this ranked choice voting system still allow me to write in a candidate? And if so, does that write-in get ranked?
Yes, you can still write in a candidate and then rank your write-in. But the Division of Elections will only count write-ins if, in aggregate, they finish first or a close second in the initial results.
All right. Well, that was Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin. Liz, thanks for walking us through that.
Thank you, Casey.